You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back, or for the first time, to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host. I had to think about that for a minute. Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Jean Houdon. I hope I got the last name right. It's French. Jean will be with us momentarily, and he can correct me if he likes. Jean is best known for having co-founded the Earth Rainbow Network in February of 1997. Over time, this network evolved and its focus shifted towards sharing information, visions, and feedbacks on a broad range of subjects as a way to expand and deepen global awareness and the sense of forming a global spiritual community, gradually empowering itself to contribute in shaping the future of this world. He also co-created the Global Meditation Focus Group in April 2000, to regularly issue meditation focuses designed to focalize the attention and healing energies of a growing number of meditators around the world onto situations and crises in need of peaceful resolution and spiritual assistance. In 1986, he was inspired to write a book called The Immortal Child, whose purpose was to present to a vast audience the concept of our planet as one single global entity, also known as the Gaia Hypothesis. This book, published in English, French, Japanese, and Portuguese, led to 2 years of intense work to promote the idea of an Earth concert, which finally took place on December 31st, 1989, through 20 concerts held in 15 different countries. So, there are many more accomplishments that Jean has made, so let's continue to discover more about him now. Hi, Jean, how are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm very well. I'm very happy to be on your show. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I have been following and reading your compilations for some time now. I can't remember when I first subscribed. But they are absolutely, I can't believe you put so much work and effort and wonderful information in them. And of course, we might as well mention now, they're free to subscribe to. And I believe that to do that, you just go to your site at earthrainbownetwork.com?
That's correct, and people can see the instruction how to subscribe from there.
These are really wonderful because they it covers the whole range of subjects from the lightest of the love to the darkest of the dark. What triggered your nurturing of humanity and our planet in this way, and how far back does that go?
That's an interesting question to begin with.
Before you were born, probably.
Well, it should be so, because I've had quite an interesting experience this lifetime. I'd say the drive to sort of offer myself as an instrument to help change things for the better in this world started when I was pretty young. When I was 18, someone mentioned to me the word Rosicrucian.
Oh.
And I was immediately very keenly interested about what that was, and eventually I became a member of that esoteric organization. That was my doorway into the world of esoteric teaching and spiritual understanding, and most importantly, inner experiences into who I am and with what I'm connected to. Through meditations and all kind of very powerful experiences I've had over time. So eventually, what you read The Immortal Child, and you saw what the character in that book goes through, and that's a little bit romanticized. That's about what I've been through when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I really discovered that we are all one with all life on Earth, not just on an intellectual level, but really I felt it very deeply in my whole being. And once you get that kind of connection, and once afterwards you discover that the web of light is being dismantled, destroyed, disregarded by how humanity behaves, mm-hmm. Then you feel a direct responsibility to do something about it. Mm. And another experience that I had later on, while I was in Los Angeles, I was being guided in a meditation by a shaman who had placed some crystals on my chakras, and his meditation was to bring me, bring my awareness into the very center of our planet. And at some point, I really felt that I was there, that I was sensing this whole being, this whole very motherly being. And at one point, I heard very clearly, and I'm a kind of guy who always wants to do something. I'm always pushed from within to do all kinds of things to help. And at that point, I heard very clearly, there's nothing to do but to be.
Oh.
You just have to be. And that's all there is to do. So from that point on, my tack changed, and I realized that it was easier to, instead of pushing, just to go with the flow and go wherever it leads me to.
Boy, that is a major life lesson that many people don't get in many lifetimes. And I'm telling you, if we can just learn that one tiny piece, that really is the secret to life in many ways.
Yes,
And also in a universe, if we are just being, the universe seems to unfold or unravel a magic carpet that shows us in clear ways what's next for us. And usually it's a surprise for me. Sometimes it's not a surprise, but when we just let go of our expectations, it's amazing how life just kind of begins to flow more like a river and not like going over a cliff with a barrel.
Exactly. Well, when you understand the magic of synchronicities, and many, many, many people in the new consciousness movement have got that now, there's so much that opens up to us because we just listen to what is in front of us, what is within us, and pick our cues from there. Mm-hmm. And just, we're guided all the time if we just want to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all there is to do.
Well, now you've been doing the Earth Rainbow Network now for about 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have several different things I want to ask you about that. What are some of the accomplishments that you're most proud of?
Well, I rarely think in those terms.
Oh,
because
I know.
When you're proud of something is when you think you've achieved something. But I
let me rephrase that. Maybe
okay. I'm complicating your life. Sorry.
No, this is okay because this is a process for me too, and I need to be aware of how I phrase things. And you're so right about that. I think what I'm trying to say is what seemed to bring the most satisfaction to you in terms of its impact, its positive impact globally.
This is not something which is easy to circumscribe because it's a very intangible thing that you network all kinds of information. You rarely get feedbacks from people on specific items. Of course, I do get very interesting, supportive words of appreciation from time to time from readers and subscribers, and that's always interesting to see. But my sense is that beyond the flow of information we all share, which create a common awareness mm-hmm. about things, there's this inner sense of forming, as you just said at the beginning of the show, a global community empowering itself to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all those who regularly connect with this information that have been being led to network have the sense that they are like members of a big orchestra, and they play their part in it, and they know that everybody is playing their part, and that overall it does something very good. And
mm-hmm.
that's all I need to feel, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I feel the same way about the radio show. Sometimes, you know, I don't get a great deal of feedback from people, and so I just go on doing it because I like doing it, and it's fun mm-hmm. to do, and I get to talk to wonderful people like yourself. So, you know, but I look at that as kind of a way of serving the planet in getting information out and sharing information that I think might be of value to others.
Yes. Actually, what we're doing, which is very important, is that we are writing a new story for this planet altogether. All the thousands and thousands of people who are following their own inner guidance and putting their passion into manifesting whatever it is they came to do in this lifetime,
mm-hmm.
we have the mainstream media and the old storyline that still goes on, but we have really in the past 10-15 years started getting some traction in terms of influencing the rest of this planet with the new storyline we're writing, which is not our own authorship, of course. We're just here as instrument into some higher plans that is being manifested through our willing participation.
Right, right. Do you see this as kind of a, I mean, I've started to see it this way, and it's hard not to see it this way once you kind of shift your thinking about it, but do you see this as kind of the end of an old paradigm or an age and the birthing of something new?
Yes, it definitely is something like that. It's a very cross-fading thing, though. It's not going to happen overnight, in the twinkling of an eye. It's happening very gradually while the old world dies down into its own paradoxical stupidity. a new one is rising slowly, trying to feel out its way through all kinds of experience, nothing is fixed, nothing is set, but there is an overall trend which is definitely there towards something new happening. I don't want to know exactly, and I want to try to think what it's going to be, as I did when I wrote The Immortal Child. When I got started with that, it was after doing a meditation and connecting with Gaia as a whole being, just after I read the last book of this series by Isaac Ivanov about the planet being an alive being, and I got a few inklings of what the content of the book would be by the title of the seven chapters, a short paragraph. But beyond that, I had no idea what the storyline would be for that book. So I really have striven throughout the whole process of writing the book to be a blank page, to not try to imagine what the next elements of the book would be, and so I read the book as I wrote it, and for me the story of this planet is exactly the same. I don't want to try to push ahead and figure out what it's going to happen. I know it's going to be wonderful, and I trust there's a guiding hand that is bringing us right where we're supposed to go.
Well, yes, let's hope so, because if there isn't, we're in big trouble, and we're in big trouble anyway. So I do believe that you're right about the guiding hand. During the last decade, you've written a lot in your compilations. You include so many wonderful things and the things that are somewhat disturbing in nature, and that's part of what's going on. What do you see as some of the more pressing issues that have come up over the years that we need to address?
Well,
I mean, there's so many.
If you're talking about environmental issues or larger issues than that,
you can start anywhere you want.
Yeah, one of the key things that I think is important is to be faced with very hard information. For instance, the treatment of Palestinian by Israeli army in Gaza. This has been a festering wound for so many years, and we just can't imagine how it's going to end, and hopefully end positively. But the important thing when faced with such situation is to be able to very calmly examine it without going into blaming mode, without going into dark versus white thinking, bad and good. Because when we do that, we polarize things and we make the situation even harder to shift into a higher gear. So if we can collectively learn to forgive, just understand that everybody is doing their best, given what they have been taught, given what they believe, and remember that we all made mistakes. It's a trial and error process here. So if you start seeing things in that perspective, it's going to make it much more easier to improve ourselves individually and globally, and feel our way towards a better way ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make any sense to you?
Yes, absolutely. No, absolutely right. Now, if you move up to another level beyond that, it seems as if there are a couple of situations that are brewing. One seems to be a global inability to move in a more conscious direction and a denial of what's happening. And then the other seems to be an establishment of obstacles from a higher level that we don't see. Have you seen that occurring as well in your writings?
What would you suggest? Because I'm not the only one with the answers here, and that's also a part of what I've been trying to do over the years, is that I'm not the guy with all the answers. We are together the guy with all the answers. So get me started with something there.
I see. This is going to be fun tonight. I get to think. Did I tell you my mind is gone? I have only 3 or 4 brain cells left.
I don't believe that. Anyway, we use so little of our brain. What matters is what is behind, the thinking of the soul. That's what matters to me.
Yeah. Well, if everything is happening in divine order, as you suggest, then everything is happening as it's supposed to, including all of the unconscious behavior, the greed, the manipulation, the secret projects, the people who are pulling the strings behind the scenes. And then if you want to go beyond that, the battle between light and dark and other dimensions that are higher than ours that work themselves out in this level. Does that make sense?
That makes sense quite a lot. And if you step back still further, why is this, seeming battle between darkness and light going on? That's a universal thing. We can certainly figure that out from microcosm, macrocosm. Mm. What's happening here is certainly happening everywhere. So why is that so? Do you have an idea about that?
Well,
from the very top perspective.
From the very top perspective,
yeah.
Well, it could have something to do with the evolution of the advancement or the desire to go beyond to evolve. In other words, even the Creator is evolving on some level, and it seems that there might, it might be, one idea might be the spiritualization of all matter, that it's, that matter is becoming more spiritualized, and in these vast cosmic cycles, which we don't see because our lifetime is too short, these cycles play themselves out, and we have periods of being very dense and mired in duality, and then we have periods of awakening. And maybe it's just a process of enjoying the surprise of discovering that we're grand creators. I don't know.
I couldn't have expressed it better.
Oh. Well, maybe you should do my show next week. I'll be your guest.
You know,
you're very good.
I think the creator in us is playing with the experience of everything that's going on, and
yeah,
they're learning as it goes through everything, and therefore there's no bad and wrong from that perspective. It's all interesting,
right?
But, and I like very much to try to go there, especially deep into meditation, which is still the theme for the current meditation focus, reaching godliness, you know, placing yourself in the shoes of God, or whatever you want to call it, and
right,
and sensing yourself from that perspective. And it's like the eye looking at itself, you know, the consciousness turning inward and trying to feel out what is observing within that is very, very deeply rooted into something that is primeval, which is beyond anything that has existed before, something so powerful that you have no idea how big it is, and still it's always there. There's always a little light at the bottom of that well of consciousness that is observing the universe. And the more you can go there, the, you know, the better you can grasp what's going on, either in your life or around yourself and on this planet and everywhere else. And when you touch that, you bring that in the forefront, and that presence in you then can grow, and is so happy to have an outlet that is willing to let that thing go through, because that's why we've been designed to be outlet for that force field of awareness, of knowledge, of sentience, of wisdom, of love that permeates everything that that exists. So,
well, I like the way you said it better. But
I had no idea what I was saying.
Well, it was wonderful. I'll have to listen to this recording when it comes up again. But then, is it, I guess the question is, why does it seem that the scales of justice and inequity have tipped so deeply into the hands of a very few people who control most things? Is this just part of the illusion that we're playing? It seems that there's way too much suffering and devastation going on around the world. Maybe that's just part of the setup for, you know, for our a grand awakening. I don't know.
Well, I think it's all a matter of perspective. If you look at at an ant colony, and observe how things are going, and you see, for instance, a bear that comes nearby and start digging in the ants colony and eat the ants. For us, it, you know, we're not very moved by that. We just observe. So you could also see the terrible suffering that people are experiencing on this planet. And I know it sounds terrible to say that, but on a certain level, it doesn't matter that much, because when you understand that everything that is, that exists, that lives, is immortal, the real thing in us that drives our body is an immortal essence, and from that perspective, all that happens to the vehicle is very transient. It's just a blip into an immense vista of experiences that we've been through for eons. So,
yeah, definitely, eons and eons and eons. Yeah, the more that I look at our history, it seems the more evidence there is of, or suggestion of evidence, that we, that our true roots come from some kind of extraterrestrial source. What is your feeling about that? And maybe that doesn't matter, but...
I think we're all extraterrestrial.
Yeah, good.
Well, in the sense that even those who live on this planet are extraterrestrial.
Right.
Who is really terrestrial here?
Yeah.
Because the one who should really root for the terrestrial team, they are not doing that much work.
Yeah.
Except some people who are very dedicated, but most of the rest of the passengers on the spaceship are just enjoying the ride and pilfering, you know, and enjoying the buffet and taking as much as they can. So, but indeed, I think that when you look, for instance, at the past, you know that all the species that remains today are equivalent to about 2 or 3% of the total number of species that have been in existence on this planet since life first started, over 400 million years ago. Each time there is an episode or a crisis of global extinction, and everything starts from scratch all over again. Very strangely, you know, normally it should take a long time for a species to evolve out of, you know, starting from scratch. But yet, you see in the geological records that very quickly a whole abundance of life forms spring up again. So where does this life comes from? I think the earth is like a garden for some very ancient species that go around the universe and all kinds of species that are intricately connected and interdependent. It's just so amazing to me to see how complex the web of life is. And so, probably the human species, if you just look at the number of specific races, not just the basic races that we have of humans on Earth, but, you know, you compare people from all different parts of the world and you look at their facial features, there's so much diversity, it's amazing. So is it all coming from just Darwinian evolution? I doubt it.
I doubt it too. Yeah, I doubt it too.
Next question.
You have successfully started an intentional community, so that kind of ties into everything that you're doing. I read that you built your own house on a very large parcel of land. And then other people joined you. Now, would you like to share a little bit about that and how it works? Because that seems like it's a wonderful model for sustainable living.
Yes, indeed. It's not given to that many people to experience that. The intentional community movements around the world, when you think of it, you can think of Findorn, the farm in Tennessee, and a number of such more well-known experiences. We are the oldest, here in Quebec, the oldest such community, founded in 75. And it's been a wonderful experience to grow here and to first grow my own food. I'm starting my 30th garden this year. Since I'm here. So every year I dedicate much time to grow my vegetables for the whole year. And building one's house is also quite an experience.
Build your own house from scratch?
Yes, but not entirely from scratch, because I wasn't very rich, so I bought much of the material for the house in classified ads. Probably half of the material in the house comes from recycled building material. that I bought for on the cheap, you know. But of course, it's not just that. Over time, I brought some improvement and made it a very comfortable house. It looks very good. It doesn't look like some old battered thing. It looks very modern. But, you know, learning to do that is quite an initiation in itself. I'd never built before, so you have to figure out how you're going to do this, you know?
Oh, yes. My dad was a builder, too, and he built a couple of small houses, and it's quite an amazing thing to watch and then to experience it afterwards, and
mm-hmm.
they're still standing today, so
mm-hmm.
I guess he did a pretty good job.
So what that brought for me is that if I could manage to do that, I can certainly manage to do quite a lot of things afterwards, which gave me a lot of self-confidence into tackling all the other challenges that I've fallen on my lap afterwards.
You probably had to put in a well and till the land.
No. We get our water from with gravity through a pipe that is connected into a stream in the upper part of the land here. So no need for a well. If we go out of power here, we are self-sustaining. We can all heat. We have all wood stoves, and we have 440 acres of land, much of it being forested. So we carefully harvest wood for our wood stoves and construction wood as well. We have a little, we're quite well organized for, and there are 17 houses here, and about 30 people living here, plus about 10 kids. So.
Wow, what a wonderful experience. And everybody is pretty much of like mind in terms of...
No, we're all very different.
Okay.
Many are coming from, some people are coming from Germany, Switzerland, and some other places, and we are each very unique individuals. What we have the most in common is our desire to be self-sustaining, grow our food and be independent.
Yes, I have that same desire. And it's taken me, I live on a few acres, but last year was the first year that I could actually put in a garden because there were pine trees that my father had planted in the whole, he just loved these Japanese pines and planted them everywhere, and so nothing could grow under the shade. Well, due to the drought and the change in weather, the Japanese pine beetle attacked all of the pine trees, and one by one they turned brown and just literally died in a matter of days.
Oh.
So within a month, I watched my whole property turn, into a big fire stick. So all those had to be taken down. And last year was the first year that I planted a garden. But I might be writing you privately for tips on, how to organize the garden and make it organic and all of that, if you don't mind.
Well,
I think that's really important.
Yes, indeed. It's part of having a... lighter footprint on this planet. The more we take care of ourselves and not depend on things that are being imported from around the world, the better we are.
Absolutely. We've become accustomed to relying on the wheels turning, but it could take just one little glitch in the whole system to stop the whole conveyor belt from working. And we don't, my father went through the Depression, so he knew about it and kind of instilled in me that realization that it's important to, stay out of debt and to be self-sufficient as possible.
Yeah, it's proven to have that awareness, but at the same time, I wouldn't recommend trying to make such changes in one's life based on fear that things will go wrong. I think it's better to be motivated by the desire to create a better world for yourself and for your family and for people around you it's more constructive, more inspiring to do this from that.
Very good point. Very good point. And it's actually fun.
Yes.
That's the best part about it is, you know, when planting the seeds and getting your hands in the soil. And, you know, even somebody living in the city with just a little tiny deck can put, you know, some tomatoes out on there in a wine barrel. They have them now where they grow upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hang them from your rafters, and the tomatoes will come out at the bottom, and you just pick them. So,
yeah.
I
would add to that, beyond the practical aspect of being able to grow your own food, it's also about, you know, when you start making such changes in your life, it's more importantly, it's about using the freedom we're being given here. We can make whatever we want with our life. The moment we are on strong footing enough to do so and have developed our skills to a point where we can take flight and accomplish things. And so instead of being pushed by the powers that be through whatever is influencing the people with the advertisement and so on and the kind of lifestyle that is being promoted, we can choose, and we're free to do so, to do some amazing things for ourselves and for this planet. And in doing that, we become allies of life. We collaborate with the higher power that be and not only become self-sufficient, but as you said, we have lots of fun doing that because we feel that we're really going into the right direction, following the flow of life towards what's coming ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're talking about aligning with one's soul rather than the personality and the ego.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, the personality of the ego is a very useful tool. It's not a bad thing. It's just that it shouldn't be in the driver's seat.
Right.
It's exactly. Just a seat.
Maybe in the baby seat in the back.
No, it's just a seat. It's,
oh,
just,
it's just
a car.
A seat. Okay.
It's just a car, you know.
All right.
It shouldn't be driving.
So what do you think is one of the largest obstacles to our living peacefully without damaging the earth and each other? Do you feel that that's just our inability to realize that what we do to others we're doing to ourselves, or... You know,
yeah, it's about that, but in relation to the earth itself.
Oh, yes.
You know, what we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. And so for me, the biggest obstacle is the lack of connection, the lack of sentient, deep-feeling connection with the web of life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a man by the name of Michael Cohen who was one of the founders of the Earth Rainbow Network, who has developed the eco-psychology concept, whereas you strive in everything you do to feel your connection with the web of life around you and within you. And once you have that connection established, you tend to think twice before hurting yourself, that is, hurting the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the major thing. Most people live in a bubble, you know, a technological bubble,
yeah.
Isolated from real nature, especially today with the virtual world on the Internet. People get lost in that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go back with the wonderful analogy presented in the world of Pandora, whereas we are avatar, each of us is an avatar,
mm-hmm.
of our soul, and our soul is one. You know, of course, our soul has each of our souls have individuated over the course of an incredibly large period of time, but still all souls are connected as one, so that's why I say our one soul,
mm-hmm.
and which is the creator that we were discussing about earlier, that deep force. So if you use that analogy to understand that the ego, your body, everything that is helping your inner awareness to interface with the physical reality. If you see things in that perspective and really allow your inner drive that comes from the source of your intuition, what thinks the words in your mind, what speaks the words through your mouth, and if you really come from that perspective all the time, then a lot of things will go smoother. And if you can convey that experience to other people, which can only be discovered through personal experience, not through the world of abstract thoughts and observing from afar. You really have to plunge into this experience and discover for yourself what it is to think and feel and be the soul that you are. And talking about that, I had prepared something which I feel is good to introduce here, if you don't mind. When I prepare, you know, you were mentioning earlier that I write a lot of stuff that I network. Most specifically, I write for the global meditation focuses I propose, and there's a series of 12 equinox and solstice meditation that has been proposed recently, and in the process of preparing that and some of the things earlier than that, I came with this little sort of prayer, which I think encompasses in a nutshell what it is we've been talking about for the last few minutes, and it's just a few lines. If you don't mind, I'd like to read
that. I'd love
it.
I'd love to hear it.
So you've seen that, but I, for the benefit of those listening,
right,
it says this, it's something that I, you know, when I receive those things, I just go into total blank state mind, just feel the bliss that invades me, that tingles into my whole body, and I just let the words form into my mind, and I type that, and that's what I receive. I'm a soul, a divine spark of the infinite that gave birth to this universe. I remember who I am and serve the greater purpose of life as one with all that is. I came here with many other souls to assist in the expansion of light on this living planet Earth. I accept to let love be the guiding beacon of my life and to shine its radiance in every moment. I am a soul, and the sole purpose of my existence is to be all that I am. So be it. So
beautiful.
That's it. Yeah, I think it really touches upon the key understanding that once more and more people get that, it's going to be a real earth-shifting thing.
And you seem to be hopeful that that we will get it, that we will wake up and out of our dreams and our daydreams and sleep and start to realize that those basic truths.
Most likely in the nick of time.
Yeah, right, right. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, we like clinchers, don't we?
Yes, we do, we do. We like these scary rides that, you know, right to the very end.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite movies were James Bond movies as a kid. And, of course, James Bond got away with quite a bit, but he would swoop in and save the world in the last 5 or 6 seconds. And something about that always it struck me as being pretty cool. So
it seems to be an archetype that is weaved into much of our culture in Hollywood productions.
Oh,
that in the very end, something is going to set things right.
Well, unfortunately, we have to be the James Bond. We can't rely on.
We have to be that something, indeed.
You know, and it seems like a lot of people are kind of waiting for one person to show up and just swoop us up. But it does take one person to start the process. And
there's a metaphor that I like very much. You know, when the temperature goes down and you look at a pond which is not yet frozen, it takes a first crystal of ice to form somewhere on the pond, and then quickly others aggregate around it, and soon the whole pond is frozen hard.
Huh.
That's how it's going to change.
Oh.
That's how it's changing actually right now. Except we don't see it happening. You know, from the perspective of the lifetime of the planet, it's happening in the twinkling of an eye. The change
right.
of perspective right now.
Right. You know, that's something I have to remind myself of, or be reminded of, by somebody who remembers that on a daily basis. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the manipulation of television and the false front that's presented there. And that's just the illusion, you know, being held up that we're supposed to buy into.
You know, that's all part of the test. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't have any test.
Well, a few less tests might be nice.
Oh, buckle up. I think more are coming.
I think so, too. I really think you're right about that one. But I love this idea of the spring and the summer and winter equinoxes. We're coming up on one, March 20th,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't been feeling them as much until last summer, and then that was the first time I really tuned into the equinox, and it was like a light switch went on, and the day after the equinox was like a night and day, and it included some somewhat mystical experience,
mm-hmm.
and so now I'm tuning into these equinoxes regularly, and also the moons, the full moons and the new moons are
mm-hmm.
are interesting, and all these other astrological things that play into it are fun to keep track of.
Yes, because that's what connects us back with the rhythms of this living sphere
right.
of life. You
right.
know, well, you can have nothing more in sync with the web of life than those moments, those special moments.
Well, you know, I just happened to have on my computer, I had your latest Earth Rainbow Network compilation,
mm-hmm.
and I just clicked on the pictures, and the most beautiful panorama of pictures of you, I guess that's your home, that's where you live, right?
Oh, yes, those are mostly pictures that I took on the Saguenay River. It's a large fjord that is nearby here where I love to go kayaking.
Oh, just absolutely stunning. I encourage everybody to visit the site, www.earthrainbownetwork.com. Mm-hmm. And if you do nothing else at all, A, subscribe, and B, take a look at these beautiful photos. I mean, they look like they came out of National Geographic. So it's no wonder that you are so peaceful at your core. I can sense your peaceful nature, and you give so much to the world. It's really quite wonderful what how you're just being.
Yeah, I'm just an instrument. That's
yeah.
all there is.
Yeah.
And we are all.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So the global meditation that you're doing is for the spring equinox. Is that, or do you do this? Is this on a which one is this one that's coming up? Or is this a regular meditation?
Well, there are two things. The regular things that I've started in 2000, the global meditation focuses. Those are every Sundays for half an hour. Tomorrow, this Sunday, because we go into daylight saving times, they are going to start at noon
okay.
on the East Coast and 9 a.m. on the Pacific time. And the theme for this week, the fourth week, because I issue them once a month, and the current theme is reaching consciousness, which is a word I've coined to try to express the idea that we have our human consciousness, but there's also a God consciousness
mm-hmm.
that we can connect to. And usually I get those ideas during the meditations. You know, I get the few words that summarize what the next theme will be, and then usually the night before of the new theme has to be distributed, I sit very, very late at night at the computer, and I clean my mind and just go into blissful state, and then it comes through in about 10, 15 minutes, the three paragraphs that summarize what it's going to be. And I know that the next theme is going to be love thyself as the love you are, which is the, you know, the next part of consciousness, understanding that we are one God. We are all this sentient being that expresses itself through all that. Through all that is, well, why are we there? Where we're there to learn to love ourselves. You know, one God. If you can imagine what it would have been for that sentient being before anything existed, alone in the great void. You know, my God, you want to have some company.
Yes. I'm so, alone, so I can attest to that.
Yeah. So we are that company. We are ourselves. We created ourselves to have some company. And so let's love thyself and as the love that we are, because God, Creator, Source, is the source of all love. So that's the idea. I don't know exactly how it's going to come through when I'm going to write down the three description paragraphs, but usually it comes nicely.
Well, that that sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of the more difficult lessons that we have to face, and that's learning how to love ourselves.
Mm.
So, and speaking of love, I thought maybe I could just thank you in this moment for introducing me to one of my guests, Lou Bonion, who is a loving, wonderful healer in South
Isn't
Africa.
Isn't she wonderful, indeed?
Oh, my goodness. I just adore Lou.
I do, too.
She is love personified.
Yes.
And she's an inspiration to me. And I met her through reading your your newsletter. So I wanted to thank you for that indirect introduction. So,
Well, you're welcome. It's my pleasure to share such wonderful discoveries with the world.
You never know what gems will come out in when you start opening a door until you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the door may look a little intimidating. There is information in your compilations that may be disturbing, but you pick the things that appeal to you, and you use your intuition, and you know, just go to the things that make you feel better or that help you to be more aware. So, but I think you do a fantastic job on it, and like I said, I heartily recommend that everybody subscribe to it and start.
Well, there's some word of warning, though, to be said. Anyone who wants to subscribe to this and get into this amazing maze of information that is being networked has to be ready to receive about 5,000 pages of information every year.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
Quite a bit. Which is why they're you know, the total number of subscriber, when you count in those who you know, there's a sort of attrition. You always have some a number of subscribers who disappear, you know, over time. So, and the total number of subscribers has remained for the past 6-7 years around 3,200. You know, it goes around that. So to the main list, I have another list though for those who can take the whole enchilada.
You're so funny. I love it. Yes, that sometimes I have to take a break. I have to admit they can be quite long, but chock full of information. The listeners will have to see for themselves. We're almost running at the end of the hour, so I just want to give you an opportunity to, you know, say anything that you feel is you'd like to share with the listeners, and then to give your website out so that people can find you.
Okay. Well, you already gave it a couple times.
We'll do it again.
Okay. Well, if you don't want to search it, you just have to remember Earth Rainbow Network, and you Google that, and you'll find it. Then I'd say what is important is for anyone listening to trust, to have faith that the first faith in themselves, in the part of themselves that is immortal, and to nurture the awareness of that part of themselves, which is their true self, our true self. And also have faith that everything is going to be just wonderful ahead of us, despite some tribulations that we, some people have to go through because they still have some learning experiences to get, and that's exactly why we've decided to come here. And it's the most important privilege that is being given to you, when especially those who live in the more affluent parts of this world, to live on this planet on this very intense field of experience. We have to be aware how privileged we are to be here,
mm-hmm.
and to use this opportunity to the best of our abilities. That's all I think I can think of saying at this point. And I thank you very much for allowing me this opportunity to exchange with you about who we are.
Well, I can't think of any more profound words to say than that. And I want to thank you for being on the show and sharing yourself and teaching and helping us to understand what's going on. And I just can't thank you enough for being on the show.
My pleasure.
All right.
From the higher perspective.
Yes, from the highest. And continued great success with your work and
the coming garden.
So and we'll be in touch probably, and we should do another show sometime.
If you will.
All right, Jean. Thank you very much again, and good night.
Okay.
And good night to the listeners.
I enjoy very much talking with you, Lance. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.